This is the PubRight Podcast, a service of the Arbortex community.
Today we have Kevin Dietz from Timpani Software. They make a build management, current and continuous integration solution as background in software development tools. Kevin, you contacted me a long time ago now to do some FrameMaker to DocBook conversion. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about why you wanted to make that move?
So what happened was when I first started working on our product, BuildBeat, I knew that obviously we were going to need some documentation to go along with it. And so I sat down with my technical writer in the first version of the product, and I sat down with my tech writer and I said, okay, you know, how are we going to do the documentation? And so we talked about the different goals that we wanted to have for the documentation. We talked about the different outputs that we wanted to drop out of it. We knew we wanted to have a PDF file format that we could install and ship to our customers along with it. And PDF obviously is good for printing too. So if we ship PDF to our customers, and they can print it out if they want. But in addition to that, we knew that we also want to have an online help, sort of hypertext link type of thing, that would work better for context sensitive help when they were actually using the product. And we didn't want to write two versions of that. So we wanted to have some way of single sourcing that, so we could kind of write one base set of documentation and then run it through some kind of process and get out both a PDF and an online help. And the person that did the tech writing had used FrameMaker before and wanted to use it. She recommended to me that we do this in FrameMaker. I think primarily it was first and foremost, the motivation was just her familiarity with FrameMaker. And, you know, you get this with a lot of tech writers.
Absolutely.
They're used to using FrameMaker, and they want to keep using FrameMaker. And, you know, and it works for them. So I think that was probably the basis of the recommendation. In the past, I had done documentation previously in other products in Microsoft Word. And I knew the limitations of Microsoft Word, and she convinced me that Microsoft Word really wasn't the best format for writing larger, you know, documents, administrator manuals, and that kind of stuff. And I agreed with her on that, so she didn't have to fight me too hard on that. I was already there. And then the other thing that we talked about is FrameMaker at the time, and this was about three or four years ago. And the version of FrameMaker at the time was 7.1, and then they were in the process of upgrading to 7.2. And it came bundled with, I don't remember the exact name of it, but I think it was called WebMaker. And it came bundled with this utility. It was a third-party utility that Adobe bundled with FrameMaker.
Yeah.
And it would take the FrameMaker file, and then it would output these HTML help files.
Right,
so
I remember that.
So we thought that would be a good solution to the single source goal that we set out originally. And so we talked about that, and, you know, I gave her the green light. I said, fine, you know, go ahead and use FrameMaker. And so that's what we ended up using for the first version of BuildBeat is we use FrameMaker and we produce these files.
Right.
And so that's how we wound up with, you know, with a set of FrameMaker files that you eventually converted into XML. So in the process of developing the first version of BuildBeat, it became kind of obvious to me, not necessarily to the tech writer, but to me, that there were some problems. There were definitely some things that I wasn't real happy about with the FrameMaker. And the first thing that became obvious to me is that this WebMaker thing that was bundled with FrameMaker and the HTML conversion process, it really didn't work very well for us. And the primary problem that I had with it, because I had to write the installer, is that what you would get out of this conversion process would be many, many, many HTML files. I'm talking like dozens or even hundreds of HTML files that would drop out of this thing. And then I had to try to feed that into Install Shield to make our installer. And Install Shield didn't seem to work very good when you were trying to package up a lot of really little small files. Because every time the file list changed, then you had to go into Install Shield and you had to change the file list. And, you know, getting those two things to work together didn't really work very good. So that was the first problem. And then the second problem is something that I kind of noticed right away, and actually is the same problem that you have with Microsoft Word, is that the FrameMaker file format is binary. And when you try to use binary files and check them into a version control system, it just really isn't an ideal way to work with a version control system. When you think about all the nice things that a version control system gives you, you know, doing differences between two revisions and doing a history and, you know, tracking your different revisions and doing merges between files that have been modified.
Right.
None of that works when you're using a binary file format. So I really want, as a software developer, you know, my desire was, look, I really want it to be text. Whatever, I don't necessarily care if it's XML or not, but I want it to be text so that way it will work well with the version control system. And then the third major problem that I had in all of this was I wanted to automate it. I mean, obviously, I'm building a build management system, which is all about build automation, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, I obviously want to eat my own dog food here. And, you know, I want to, you know, use BuildBeat to automate the build process. And I want to have this nice, fully automated build process. And I want the input files, you know, to automatically get converted into PDF and automatically get converted into the online help and then automatically make their way into the MSI file that gets shipped to the customer. And I just couldn't figure out a real good way to automate that. You know, FrameMaker is a GUI. You got to open the GUI up and then you could say save as PDF, you know, but how do you automate that inside of a build script? And then the same thing with this, with the HTML conversion, that was another manual process. So you really had these two manual processes that just were not real easily automatable. And that really bothered me, especially considering I was building, you know, like you said, a build automation tool. That really bothered me. And so when we started on the second version of BuildBeat, I really wanted to change away. I got to the point that I wanted a different solution. And so I started Googling and trying to find out, you know, what was a better option. And, you know, I was familiar with XML. And I knew that some people out there did use XML for documentation. So that was one route, you know, that I put some time into. I also did look, though, briefly at using FrameMaker Server, which I think they still sell.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, and so the main things that kind of turned me off to going down the FrameMaker Server route was I thought it was expensive, first of all, It wasn't clear to me how I would use FrameMaker Server to automate this, you know, how the build script would coordinate with the activities of what the FrameMaker Server was doing and how that would get fed back into the build script. So it wasn't clear to me that it was a real great solution for solving the automation problems. And even if it did solve the automation problems, it wouldn't solve the other two problems that I had with it. It wouldn't solve the HTML conversion problems I was having, and it wouldn't solve the fact that FrameMaker was a binary format.
I can tell you that that situation, that's where we were at Juniper when I was there. We had FrameMaker Server. We were going through WebWorks. That's the one that was bundled with it. And we were producing all of those files, and that became just unmanageable.
Yeah.
For the same reasons. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was probably a much larger scale project that you were working on than what I was working on. But even on a small scale project, it still becomes a problem pretty quickly.
Yeah, it does.
So, you know, so I was biased towards the XML route. I felt in my heart, I felt like, you know, that was going to be the right solution. And so I put most of my research into XML. And then it became, then the question quickly became, what XML schema are you going to use? And so I, the two that kind of bubbled to the top were DocBook and Gitta. Mm-hmm. And I decided, I don't know if it was the right choice or the wrong choice, because I know a lot of people out there are using Gitta. From what I read at the time, at least, I read that if you were trying to do a book or a manual, that DocBook was the better choice because the schema is more geared towards books and manuals. You know, that you have tags for chapter books and right. chapters and sections and subsections, et cetera. And I really don't know how the Gitta schema is organized and how similar it is to that. But I decided to go down the DocBook route, although I have to tell you, you know, when I look at XML tools out on the market, I see a lot of the commercial tools seem to have gone down the Gitta route. So I'm not sure how much of a difference it really makes, you know, that decision.
Yeah, completely what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
What your customers are responding to.
Yeah. So, anyways, I felt like, you know, I could definitely work with DocBook. It seemed to have the tags structure that I expected it to have. You know, it had chapters and sections and titles and things like that that made sense to me. So that was the one I chose. And so that's where you came into the picture.
Right.
We had these FrameMaker files, and we wanted to convert them into DocBook XML. And so then I started, you know, researching tools that would do that, and that's when your website right. came up, and I got in touch with you, and you did the conversion for us.
Right. So how's it doing now? Where have you? This was a couple of years ago, right? This was 2006, maybe.
I think it was. It was probably the end of 2006 or somewhere around there. But it worked out well for us. We, you know, you sent us back the XML files, and you know, then the question became, okay, well now we have these DocBook files, but still getting back to the original goal that I had discussed with my tech writer early on, we want to produce PDF and we want to produce some online help and ship those files with the product. How are we going to do that now that we got this into DocBook? And so what tool chain were we going to use to do that? And so I had, while you were doing the conversion, I, you know, was researching tools and trying to decide how I was going to process those XML files. And I looked at some open source stuff. I looked at some commercial stuff. I learned about XSLFO, which I thought was kind of weird. You know, that was the first I had ever heard of something called XSLFO, XSL for formatting objects.
Right.
I have a mental block on XSL too, and it's just because I haven't had the time to learn it. I know there are a lot of people out there that love XSLT, you know, and I
right.
would probably love it too if I ever took the time to fully learn it. But I, as a programmer, I tend to think, you know, kind of procedurally for
right.
loops and if statements
right.
and things. That's sort of how my brain is wired. And so, you know, when I get to XSLT and I see this apply templates thing and everything, it's just like, it really doesn't fit real well with the way my brain is structured to thinking about things. So I've never, when I was researching these tools, a lot of them were based on running XSLT transforms on the XML, and I was just never super, I never got super comfortable with that way of working. And so I got a little frustrated for a little while, and then I just finally decided, I said, you know what, I'm a C# programmer. I use the .NET framework to write my code. The .NET framework has plenty of built-in XML classes that
right.
allow you to read and process the XML. So I was like, why not just write my own C# program?
Oh, my gosh.
Write in the XML and spit it out, because that's what
right.
I know how to do the best.
Right, right.
Because I'm a programmer. Now, if I wasn't a programmer... you know, and I didn't know C Sharp and didn't have a good grasp on the .NET XML classes, I probably would have made a different decision.
Right.
But, you know, since that's where my comfort zone was, I just decided to stick with the comfort zone. And I said, you know what? All I need to do is just write a simple little program that reads in these XMLs and drills down into the tag structure of the DocBook schema, mm-hmm. and then, you know, outputs some intermediate files that I can then put into some other tools to get out the final output. Again, getting back to the goal of I want PDF, mm-hmm. and I want what I really wanted. I didn't want all these little HTML files that I was getting before. I wanted a single. In the Microsoft world, there's this concept of a CHM file,
yep.
.chm, which stands for Compiled Help Module. And it's got everything's bundled up into one single file. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing like where a zip file bundles a bunch of files into one single file so you can ship it more easily. That's what I wanted. So I wanted PDF and I wanted CHM. And, and so what I did is I wrote this processor and it outputted. I decided the best way I could figure out to get something into PDF was to produce an intermediate LaTeX file. I don't know how many of your listeners are familiar with LaTeX, but
more than you'd expect.
Yeah, as a computer science person, I'm very familiar with the work of Donald Knuth, and you know he invented tech back in the 70s, and then Leslie Lamport came along and he wrote a bunch of macros on top of tech and produced LaTeX, and so I would, you know, I had used LaTeX before and was familiar with it. And so I said, you know, all I need to do, but I don't think LaTeX is a good, I don't think it's a good input file format.
Right.
Because it's hard to parse.
Right.
And, you know, the world has gone down the XML route. And one of the reasons why the world has gone down the XML route is because XML is easy to parse.
Right.
And there's plenty of tools out there that allow you to read and process and parse XML, whereas, you know, last I checked, .NET didn't have a built-in LaTeX parser, okay? It's got built-in XML parsing.
You'd be surprised.
It doesn't have built-in LaTeX parser. But I think LaTeX could be a really good intermediate file format. You can read in the XML, you can process it, output LaTeX, and then you can run the LaTeX through the through the LaTeX tool, and you can get out PDF that way. Mm-hmm. And then for the CHM route, what I did is I outputted some intermediate HTML files that were then all fed in collectively into the Microsoft Help Compiler, and that gave us a CHM. And so out of that tool chain, what I got was two single files, one PDF file and one .chm file, that I could then feed into the installer to produce the MSI file to ship to the customer. And
you
know, that worked out pretty well.
Very nice.
Yeah, so what we have right now is a solution that gives us a lot of flexibility. One of the things I do like about XML, and we've talked about this before, and it can be a bit of a dangerous slippery slope, but I like the fact that I can control the tags. If I need a specialized tag to do something, I can just invent one. I wrote the processor to process the XML. If I need a tag to embed some kind of special information in it, I can just invent it. Now that will produce some compatibility problems if we wanted to go out and use some third party tools or you know, that you start to stray from the DocBook schema and maybe that could paint you into a corner possibly, but you know, it strikes me as not a bad solution, you know, if you need something specialized. So really, DocBook was kind of a starting point for us.
Right.
And the DocBook schema, and then, you know, we've tweaked it a little bit, not a huge amount. You know, we've added two or three or four tags and, you know, to put some specialized little metadata in there that we needed. I don't recall right now what tags I needed to invent, but I think I needed a little bit of extra metadata to produce that CHM file. And so that just ability to do that, whereas, you know, like FrameMaker, you know, you're tied to the proprietary formatted FrameMaker and you can't really customize it that way. And then I like the fact that the tool chain that I use in doesn't require me to use XFLT processing. And again, that's probably just a mental block on my part. And, I'm not trying to say anything bad about XFLT. I just have.
It's been known to make people cry.
I've had a hard time learning it.
Yeah.
The other thing that is kind of interesting is that because one thing I ran into right away after you sent me the FrameMaker file back is I tried to use the XSL FO thing, and I had an open source product that I downloaded that converted into XSL FO and then an XSL FO processor that would produce PDF.
Right.
But then I wanted to change the format of the final PDF output, and to do that I found out that what I had to do is I had to go into the DocBook style sheets, and I had to start modifying the DocBook style sheets to get out to change the way
right.
a chapter heading looked or something like that. And I had no idea how to do that.
Right.
It would have been a huge, I would have had to take a lot of time to learn much more about XSLT, and I would have to learn the entire DocBook style sheet or XSL structure, and it was just going to be too much time. But with going the LaTeX route, what I can do is I can just write a simple LaTeX style sheet that feeds in. I can write that by hand, and then the other input files come along from the processor I wrote, the XML processor. And so if I want to change the way a chapter heading looks or something, I don't need to do that in XML. I do that part in LaTeX. And for me, that was just a much easier way to control the final format is by using LaTeX style sheets rather than XML style sheets.
Sure.
So that's one thing I found. And now, now we have what I wanted from the beginning, which we have this fully automated document production process that's, integrated with the build script and everything. And so what's pretty cool about it is there's this process symmetry between the way a programmer can work and the way a tech writer can work.
Right.
A programmer, edits their C# file with Visual Studio and, gets it, types in the program they want, and then they check it in. And that will then kick off a build because it's a continuous integration server. And then the tech writer can do the same thing. You edit the XML file. You check it in to the version control system.
Mm-hmm.
That kicks off a continuous integration build. The continuous integration server checks everything out. It runs it through the tool chain that I was describing. And produces the PDF and the CHUM files that I was talking about. Feeds that into the installer, produces the MSI, and then we've got something that we can test and ultimately ship to the customer. So it's a fully automated process.
Nice.
And the so I'm real happy with the way it all worked out. The main problem that I have with this way of working is that when I go out to try to find a tech writer to work with me, they're just not familiar with this. They're used to using FrameMaker and used to they're used to going up to file, save as PDF, and
right.
then checking the PDF and then sending the PDF file somewhere. Whereas for us, the PDF file is an output file, and it doesn't
yeah.
the PDF does not get stored in the version control system, and so tech writers just aren't used to working this way. And so, when I hire a tech writer, I need to train them about how to do this, and
sure.
I need to get them comfortable with. You don't get to see what this looks like
right.
when you're editing the XML, right? You have to, and I show them how to do it on their. I get the tools installed on their desktop. So that they can, before they check it into the version control system, they can do a test compile on it, to see the PDF, and they do that on their desktop. But I have to train them on how to do that.
Right.
And so, I can't just put out a posting on Craigslist and say, hey, need a tech writer, got to know XML. maybe things are different in the Bay Area out there, and there's probably a lot more talent available where people are already familiar with this. But here in Colorado Springs, it's a real small community, and there aren't a lot of good tech writers out there, period. And yeah. I haven't found any that had prior experience to this way of working. So there's definitely something that has to do. So.
Yep. You're in the same boat. I had a friend who worked with XML doing the same kind of thing. He worked at SPSS, the statistical software company. And they had done the same thing. They'd implemented the XML went into their build process system. It did all of the work, and out came the same two files, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because they wanted to, it was integrated context-sensitive help into the software.
Right.
And it was really kind of difficult. Surprising to me, though, there's a lot of XML people, tech pubs in Denver.
Oh, really?
And Boulder. Mm-hmm. There's mm-hmm. a fairly large community of folks who do uh-huh. that. So you might have, I know you're in Colorado.
Yeah, have some better luck searching up in the Boulder, Denver area. Yeah. It's definitely a larger tech community up in Boulder and Denver, for sure.
And there's some pretty big actual XML and tech pubs implementation partners who are up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You find a lot of, some of the more traditional players are up there. Very cool. So you're seeing how your customers, did they notice it? Are they happier?
Well, our customers probably aren't really the wiser to how we're actually doing it. We're a software company that produces a product. We're not a mm-hmm. we're not a consulting shop. We produce a product, and then we produce the documentation that goes along with it. And, we ship our product as an MSI file that people download from our website, and then they run the MSI file, and that installs the PDF and the JUMP files along with all the executables. So mm-hmm. they're not really aware of how we did it. But internally, it's so much nicer for us having the full documentation. We also right. have some flexibility. I think what we want to move to is we want to move towards a process that will give us a third output option mm-hmm. where, in addition to the PDF and the CHUM, we do get a set of HTML files out. But instead of having those HTML files go get packaged up into the MSI file that we ship, what we'd like to do is then feed that into an automated FTP server that would then automatically FTP those HTML files up to the web server, and then people could come to our website and they'd be able to see an HTML version of the full set of documentation. And then we could update that automatically,
Yeah, that would be nice.
Push a button and then, it produces, the HTML, and then it automatically FTPs everything up. So that we haven't done that yet, but that's kind of the route that I want to go down. So having this infrastructure in place, just paves the way for doing something like that. And then, who knows, maybe if we, maybe someday we'll want to do a Java doc who knows what different formats we may want to produce in the future. But
right.
having everything in XML, which we can control and process, it just gives us so much flexibility in
right.
what we may want to do in the future. So I'm real happy about that.
I think it's kind of good they didn't notice, right? I mean, you went from something that was FrameMaker to something that's completely easier for you. And like they didn't, there are no more support calls.
Right.
That's actually a really good indicator.
Yep.
Yeah, very cool. Wow, you did a lot of work. I'm glad that it's doing well. That's very cool. Any other kinds of things that you would warn someone new who's thinking about it, what to look for, think about?
Well, I think the biggest decision for me, getting back to what we've already talked about, is the XSL. I think that's a critical decision point. How are you going to process those XML files, and do you want to use the XSL, XSLT route with XSLFO and all that? And that's don't get me wrong, that is a very valid way to do this, okay?
Right.
And I went down another route, but my decision to go down another route was based a lot on, my personal skills and,
right,
what I was comfortable with. If I had somebody on my team, that was really solid with XSLT and maybe already had some previous experience with XSLFO, I have no problem,
yeah,
to go down that route, and not write your own internal document processor like we had to do.
Right.
There's some maintenance there as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's the classic build versus buy,
right? Right.
We decided to build it, there is some maintenance involved in that. And as the company grows, and if that maintenance were to become, overly burdensome, then we could, we could switch away from that and go to, go to a third-party tool, go to a commercial tool. One of the things I really do like about XML is I feel like I'm not painted into a corner. I feel like I have a choice in how I want to process those XML files. And there's open source tools, there's commercial tools. You can write it in, write it internally like we did. And I just think people have a nice set of choices out there. And then
absolutely,
there's companies out there that have, based their whole business model around XML document processing and are doing really well.
Well, I look forward to seeing the next thing that you do. I know that you said that you are now doing XML in the installer, which seems a nice inspiration.
Inspired by the switch from FrameMaker to XML documentation, we did the same thing with InstallShield. All the problems I was talking about with FrameMaker, we had very similar problems working with InstallShield. And I shouldn't pick on InstallShield, I suppose. they've been around for a long time. A lot of people are familiar with InstallShield, but I really struggled with a lot of the same issues, the automatability of it, and the binary file format. And I eventually decided to switch to using an open source project called Wix, W-I-X, which stands for Windows Installer XML. And that's managed by a guy from Microsoft named Rob Menching. And he started working on Wix, I'm not sure, three, four, five years ago. And it's really gained quite a lot of popularity in the last couple of years. I know a lot of companies that are using Wix to produce their installer. And, the input file format is XML. And so you get the same advantages. Checking it works really well to check it into a version control system. We can automate it with our build scripts, run it through the Wix tool chain, and that's working out well. And one thing I haven't mentioned to you, Liz, is that if I can make a little plug for upcoming attractions, actually working on a new product.
Very cool.
And it's called Merge Magician. And Merge Magician is designed to be an automated merging server that will work in a very similar way to, it'll do for merging your version control system branches. It'll do for that what build automation does for continuous integration. And the idea is that you can create different feature branches for different lines of development, and then you create these rules about how you want them to be merged together, and then Merge Magician will then automate the merge process. And so, for example, you might want to merge a branch up to a trunk or something like that. And actually, I think this dovetails really well with the XML documentation concept, because let's say you're developing two different features, and you're not sure if you're going to ship both features as part of the next release, or you're going to ship one feature first and the next feature later. Well, then what you can do is you can write the documentation for each feature independently of each other, and then you can, you know, merge those, you can assemble those two separate feature set into a comprehensive XML documentation set. So this whole thing.
I think I'm losing you.
Got really interested in Agile and build management and continuous integration, and that led me to the FrameMaker problem and trying to automate that, and then that led me to this idea of having an automated merging process where I can develop features in it separately and then have them automatically merge back together. So it's kind of come full circle, you know. It's all. There's a lot of stuff that runs around in my little brain, but you should get back to some, you know, common theme, and you know,
right.
So definitely the desire to automate this production process is very much a part of that. So it's been fun.
Awesome. That's very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
The documentation problem brought new product to life in your company. That's really cool.
It's definitely been a source of inspiration for sure.
That's excellent. I'm so glad to get a chance to talk to you. I should have checked in on you far more often, it seems.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to keep in touch more.
Definitely. Have you shown this off anywhere? Are you presenting?
Well, I just got back a couple of weeks ago. I was down in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I presented this to Microsoft because we're integrating with the Microsoft Team Foundation Server as one of the version control systems that we're targeting. And I went down there, and that was really the first showing. You know, I figured jump into the deep end of the pool and just fly to Microsoft
right.
and show it to them, right? so really, this is our coming out year for Merge Magician. We're putting the finishing touches on the product, and gonna be doing a lot of webcasts and getting out there and presenting it to people, so it'll be interesting to see the reaction that we get.
Excellent. Wow, that's very cool. Well, I want to thank you for sharing what you've done and the journey you went through with our listening audience.
Thanks, Liz. Enjoyed talking about it.
I will catch up on you again after Merge Magician makes its appearance.
All right, definitely will do.
That sounds good. All right. And I will let the recording wrap itself off. Dude, that's cool. So did you know that ArborText underneath is it processes LaTeX?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it does. Because you can pass, because that's how it handles math, right? You can pass it right through.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, engine. No, I didn't know that. I mean, ArborText sounds like a good solution, and you know, it's probably price wise, probably a little bit beyond, you know, what.
Not totally.
No.
There's a locked license that's a small trial piece, and it'll do all your automated conversions at once, right? It'll build your HTML. It'll plug in. It'll produce the things that at least let you hook into the CHUM processor, and it'll do that for you. But for you as small as you are, we can come something that's probably competitive with where Antenna House was, if I remember correctly. I'm not really sure what that is. But yeah, it's low. The thing is, its style sheets are more XSL like than you'll be happy with. But you clearly didn't spend any time with Prolog.
No. What's that one?
That's also a templating kind of language. It's Smalltalk or ML is another one that's that.
Yeah.
And once you get your head around it, it's a lot easier than you think.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
You might actually like it.
I probably will. That does happen to me a lot when I resist something because I don't really understand it. But then once you really grok something, you know, then it's like, oh yeah, this makes a lot of sense. So
I rarely do anything that isn't that anymore.
You know, I think as the company grows.
Yeah.
You know, we'll probably definitely reinvestigate how we're doing the document production process. But
how's it going? You guys are growing. You're showing up at Microsoft. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, this is Merge Magician is going to be big for us. I mean, to be honest, the Build Beat is something I think it just. We got to market a little bit too late with Build Beat, I think, is what happened. And there were some other tools out there that got a little bit more name recognition faster than we got. And but the Merge Magician is really, there's nothing out there like it.
That's cool.
There's nothing out there that automates the branching and merging process and allows
nice.
You to.
Yeah.
It's really a whole different category of tool out there, and so I'm excited to see what we can do with Merge Magician, and I think what might happen is if we can make sales of Merge Magician, if we can get into a customer by selling them Merge Magician, then what we might be able to do is make a follow-on sale and get them to buy BuildBeat too. Because obviously BuildBeat and Merge Magician will be integrated well together. And,
cool.
So people that want to do automated merging also want to do automated building. And, if they buy our solution for one, they'd have a tendency to buy our solution for the other one, too. So
yeah, that's cool.
This is going to be a big year for this will be a big year for me. So,
excellent. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I'm excited to get Merge Magician out and start showing it to the world. So I do think it's pretty cool, and I really do think that it does dovetail so well with the XML documentation concept.
Yeah. That is awesome. Wow, very cool. Well, I got a target for you. You should go get those Assembly guys. That's who we're doing our repository with.
Uh-huh.
And they have a bunch of tools. They automatically put it in for you.
Uh-huh.
And that would be a great addition.
Yeah.
Have you seen that? It's Assembla. Assembla. They're like a sort of an online project management, Subversion, Git, whatever repository place.
Right. Assembla.
And,
okay.
But so you, there's some of it you do yourself and some of it they do for you. But
now is that who Brandon's with?
He works for me, but he's using Assembla. So he did Subversion, he set up the repository, but they're the ones that have the tools that work with
it.
Right.
So they host it all for you.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so they might be a potentially good partner for me. Like maybe they could host Merge Magician as part of everything else that they're hosting for people.
Yeah.
And that could be a good distribution channel for me. I'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
So, there are some other companies that do Subversion hosting also, and all of that could be a good distribution channel for me.
Nice. Cool. Very exciting. I'm glad to hear. Yeah, it's cool, man. Mm-hmm. Let me know when you launch.
I will. I'll keep in touch, and I'll put every once in a while I do these screencasts and I send them out, so I can put you on the distribution list for that, and you can take a peek at them, and I'll keep you posted on the process, and maybe we can send referrals back and forth to each other or something. It's been fun staying in touch with you over the last 2 or 3 years, and we should definitely find a way that we could work together in some way.
Definitely. Or if nothing else, I'll just keep seeing what you're doing, and it's just fascinating. I love to know what people do because it's neat.
Yeah.
You never know who you can connect later to say, I know somebody's doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Go talk to Kevin because he can help you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, World Collider, that's kind of what I do. All right, excellent. Well, thanks for your time, too, this morning. I appreciate it. I'll let you know when the podcast is ready, and I'll let you preview it.
Okay.
And but I think
you're
all going to
put it out on your website?
I will put it on the podcast series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Send me a link to it, and you'll put a link to our website on there, too?
Absolutely. If you want to write up something, send it to me, and I'll put it right up.
Okay.
Nope.
Great.
That'd be my pleasure.
All right. Cool.
Excellent. Cool. Thanks.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Thanks, Liz. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
The PubRide Podcast is a production of Single Sourcing Solutions in San Jose, California. Copyright 2009. Single Sourcing Solutions.